Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with the check of news here on KJAN. State officials will appeal the Federal Emergency Management Agency's decision to deny a request for FEMA's individual assistant grants to Iowans in five counties along the Missouri River who have suffered flood damage to their homes or businesses. John Benson, a spokesman for Iowa's Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division, says the denial was unexpected. In the past, the criteria for getting the individual assistant programs turned on had been across the entire state, 150 homes either destroyed or considered having major damage. We had about 125 homes when we submitted the initial request, he said. And in further discussions with FEMA, it looks like that criteria has also slid up a little bit, either into the range of 200 or 250 homes. He said it's been 3 weeks since state officials drew up that list of 125 homes which had been destroyed or damaged by the flooding Missouri River. Benson says over the next few weeks there'll be reevaluation of homes in that five-county corridor along the river, and a revised individual damage estimate will be submitted to FEMA. The governor had asked FEMA officials to activate the Federal Individual Assistance Program for folks in Fremont, Harrison, Monona, Pottawatomie, and Woodbury counties. Benson says the long-term impacts of the flooding aren't yet known, and that's why state officials believe FEMA may eventually grant the request for individual assistance for residents in those counties. The state of Iowa has until September 3rd to appeal FEMA's denial of individual assistance in the Missouri River flood zone, and Benson says that state officials will ask for an extension on that. If the state eventually qualifies, homeowners, renters, and businesses will be able to apply to FEMA's individual assistance program for grants and low-interest loans to cover disaster-related expenses like repairs or even temporary housing costs that aren't covered by insurance. And yesterday afternoon at about 3:30, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office arrested William Eric Jones, a 31-year-old from Red Oak, for simple domestic abuse following an incident in the 300 block of West Washington Avenue in Red Oak. Jones was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on no bond pending a magistrate appearance. Authorities in Pottawatomie County say a double fatal crash on July 17th just north of Council Bluffs may have been caused by the driver texting a message and not paying attention to the road. The driver of the vehicle, 19-year-old Elizabeth Chadwick of Rural Crescent, and her passenger, 18-year-old Jessica Weinfurtner of Council Bluffs, died in the late-night crash with another vehicle. An investigation by the sheriff's office showed Chadwick, who was driving a 2003 Mitsubishi Eclipse, was southbound near a 19591 Old Lincoln Highway when her car drifted off the road to the right. When Chadwick overcorrected, the car entered the northbound lane and collided with an airport shuttle van. The accident happened at around 11:15 p.m. Both women died at the scene. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker said Chadwick had placed a phone call at 11:10 p.m. and then sent a text message at 11:11 p.m. He says it appears she was texting around the time the accident occurred. Danker acknowledges they can't prove that, but there was nothing else to indicate why the car dropped off the shoulder and onto the passenger side of the road. Authorities found alcohol in the car at the crash scene, but a toxicology report showed that alcohol was not a factor. The report also showed trace amounts of marijuana were in the system of both women. A North Dakota woman was injured Thursday evening when the motorcycle she was riding on went out of control and crashed into a ditch. The accident happened at around 6:10 p.m. on Monona County on Interstate 29 southbound. The Iowa State Patrol says 62-year-old Terry Lundberg of West Hope, North Dakota, was injured when a 1999 Honda motorcycle driven by her 63-year-old husband Lee went out of control after the rear tire went flat. The cycle and a small two-wheeled trailer it was pulling left the road and entered the West Ditch where it overturned. Lundberg was transported to Burgess Memorial Hospital in Ottawa, where there was no report available on her condition. An official with the USDA Rural Development will be on hand on Sunday afternoon in Red Oak for the dedication of a new parking lot at the Montgomery County Historic Center. Holly Askey will be in attendance for the 1 p.m. ceremony. The Montgomery County Historical Center received a $70,000 grant from the USDA to assist with the parking lot project. The Montgomery County Historical Society was organized in 1945 to help preserve and share the area's history. It continued to grow over the years and in 2006 moved into a new 14,000-square-foot building. The parking lot project marks the conclusion of the final beautification project at the center. Some employees at the post office in Council Bluffs are steamed over their working conditions. They contend building officials were purposely turning off the air conditioning during the hottest part of the day, but building maintenance officials say that's not the case. Cindy Martinez, acting postmaster for Council Bluffs, says the heating and cooling system in the facility, located at South 6th Street, is at least 50 years old and in need of a major repair or replacement. Building maintenance officials James Cliff told the Omaha World-Herald there were a couple of incidences where it got uncomfortably humid, but those problems were corrected within 24 hours. Another reason the building could be hot, according to owner Michael Kim in Seattle, is that the dock area remains open to the heat during the day. Cliff said the air conditioning is turned off in the evening and not restarted until the first crews arrive at 2 a.m. The recent heat and humidity wave, he says, means the building takes longer to cool after the system is turned off. Workers say they don't like entering the hot and humid environment. One worker said it becomes noticeably hot and humid in the building between 3 and 3:30 p.m. Other workers say patrons of the post office have also mentioned the uncomfortable conditions they encounter in the lobby. A heating and cooling contract associated with the building says it is to be cooled to the mid-70s. Califf says daily records show the warmest it has been inside the facility is 80 degrees. An official with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources says the Lewis and Clark State Park campground near Ottawa was reopened to campers Thursday, and nearly 2 months after it was closed as a precaution ahead of the predicted Missouri River flooding. Kevin Zidronsky, chief of the state parks for the Iowa DNR, says they pulled all the electrical breakers and removed other expensive utilities to try to minimize the impact of the floodwaters, but the flood did not come, so they didn't have the extensive cleanup they initially thought they would be necessary in order to reopen the park. Zidronsky says the campground, lodge, and modern restrooms are open to with two caveats. For the rest of the recreation season, campsites will be available only on a first-come basis, and several campsites immediately along Blue Lake will remain enclosed to allow them to further dry out. The lodge can be reserved by calling the park office at 712-423-2829. The Lewis and Clark State Park draws on average about 25,000 campers per year. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources says a fish kill in the South Skunk River in Hamilton County has been traced to a manure holding structure at a hog confinement near Randall. The DNR says in a news release that the leak from the outdoor concrete manure holding structure was stopped by Friday afternoon, but that a half mile of tile line was still leaking into a tributary that empties into the river. The confinement operation consists of four buildings with up to 4,800 animals. The fish kill was reported Thursday by a citizen. Dead fish were found in the river as far south as Story City, 5 miles downstream. The investigation is continuing. Taking a look now at world headlines here at this hour, a senior administration official says a helicopter that crashed in Afghanistan today does appear to have been shot down by insurgents. The crash killed 31 U.S. Special Operations troops and 7 Afghan commandos. The Taliban claims that forces broke the helicopter down with a rocket as it was taking part in a raid in Wardak province in the east. It's the highest number of American casualties recorded in a single incident in the decade-long war. Republicans and Democrats are pointing fingers at each other after Standard & Poor's downgraded the nation's credit rating for the first time ever. It cited difficulties in bridging the gulf between political parties as a major reason for the downgrade from the U.S. top-shelf AAA status to AA+, the next level down. A person familiar with the matter says financial officials from the Group of Seven Industrialized Nations will discuss how to coordinate action between their countries' central banks following several days of market panic and a downgrade of the U.S. credit rating. The person spoke on condition of anonymity because the level and timing of the contacts are yet to be confirmed. Standard & Poor's downgrade of the U.S. credit rating is adding to fears over debt levels and economic growth in large European nations like Italy and Spain. Iran's foreign minister says he is hoping that a final court verdict will lead to the release of two American men held on espionage charges. Shane Bauer and Josh Fadel have been held in a Tehran prison since shortly after their July 2009 arrest. They said they mistakenly crossed into Iran while hiking in Iraq and deny the allegations of spying. A Texas jury will continue hearing testimony today in the sentencing phase of a polygamous sect leader Warren Jeffs' trial. He faces up to 119 years in prison after being convicted of sexually assaulting two underage followers he took as his brides. Jeffs walked out of the courtroom yesterday after delivering what he called a statement from God, and it's not clear if he'll be there today. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Patricia Ann Pat Ersham Keating, age 81, of Casey, died Sunday at the New Homestead and Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Patricia Keating will be held at 2 p.m. today at the Casey United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. James George Kearns, age 69, of Stewart, died July 29th at the VA Hospital in Minneapolis. A gathering of friends and family and visitation for James Kearns will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. here this evening at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Bernard Harold Gittens, age 82, of Stewart, died Wednesday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Bernard Gittens will be held at 10 a.m. on Monday at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Wilma Billy McGill Inhofe, age 92, of Woodbine, formerly of Atlantic, died on Sunday at the Community Memorial Hospital in Missouri Valley. Funeral services for Wilma Billy McGill Inhofe will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday at the Fouts Funeral Home in Woodbine. Graveside services will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday at the Atlantic Cemetery as well. Sadie I. Zimmerman, age 88, of Avoca, formerly of Shelby, died Thursday in Harlan. Funeral services for Sadie Zimmerman will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday at the First Presbyterian Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Lois Funk, age 85, of Bridgewater, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Lois Funk will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday at the Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Margaret Irene Mapes Gilman, age 98, of Stewart, passed away on Friday at her daughter-in-law's home. Funeral services for Margaret Irene Gilman will be held at 3 p.m. on Monday at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. And David Sears, age 76, of Atlantic, formerly of Des Moines, passed away on Friday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for David Sears are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this 8 o'clock hour here on KJN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.